Hi, I'm Amanda Pacheco.
This is Sheila.
Hello, it's Davida.
I'm Gina Lovato.
Hey, it's Alana Dunn.
I'm Caitlin Bailey.
This is Melissa Novak.
It's Sean Jacobson.
Hey, it's Bethany Nicole. And welcome to Sex Party.
And welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka. With me on the show this week, sex and relationship coach, podcast host, all around awesome person, Melanie Curtin is here. We are going to talk about her work with men who may be terrified to approach women. Why are they terrified? What's going on there? How can they fight that? How can they become more confident, be more of a leader, plan the date? Melanie also works with men who may be in a relationship or married who want more connection, more intimacy, more sex. How do you get that without being a fucking dick about it, right? We're going to talk about it. The heart-cock matrix, what is it? Where do you fall on it? How do you become more of an integrated man? Are men in a dating crisis? And if so, how is that affecting men? How is that affecting women? We're also going to chat about Melanie's awesome podcast. Why is it so awesome? I'm going to ask her. So listen, I'm going to get you over to the interview. Please enjoy my conversation with Melanie Curtin.
This week's conversation.
Melanie Curtin, welcome to Sex Party. I should say welcome back because full transparency, we recorded a full episode and it just sounded like someone took it, ran it over in the street a few times, gave it back. So we're recording round two for full transparency. But how are you?
I'm happy to be here. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. Yeah, I had planned on having you back anyway. And so here we are. For the people in the audience watching on YouTube, if my YouTube channel is still there, listening on their audio app of choice, they're hearing your voice, they're seeing your face for the first time. Can you talk a bit about who you are and what it is that you do?
Yes. So my name is Melanie. I am a sex and relationship coach primarily for men and couples. I got my start in actually New York City. I co-founded a nonprofit to stop sexual abuse in the Jewish community. So my background is actually in sexual trauma, and we worked with both survivors, and we did some work with the courts around perpetrators. And I think that that's a topic I would like to normalize more because it happens to millions and millions of people. We were working primarily with boys in the yeshivas and in the community in general. And I sort of realized that we're never going to change that issue fundamentally if we don't have a healthy sexual culture overall. So I sort of pivoted and I started working more on the side of helping people have healthy sex, dating and relationship lives, because I think that part of setting us up for success in the world is having healthy couples, because healthy couples tend to have healthy family systems. They raise their children differently than they were raised. They break patterns that their parents had. They create more transparency, more openness in the home. And that's really what it takes to have a healthy, secure household, is openness, transparency, rightness with one's own sexuality that gets transmitted to kids. Like, this is okay. This is something we talk about. We're open about it. So yeah, that's a little bit about my background. And then, most of what I do now is I do original sex research and I do coaching. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's all like incredibly, fascinating to me. And, when you say you did work with victims and then also with perpetrators, that I'm like, okay, wait a minute. As I'm sure a lot of people do. I mean, what kind of work did you do with both? And like, what did you notice that what really kind of like grabbed you more, on both sides of it?
Yeah. Well, I think, so for example, there are cases where, let's say a kid is abused by an authority figure, and then as a late teen, they abuse a younger teen or a kid. So a lot of the abuse, I think, I don't know how much your audience knows about it, but in my experience, I'm kind of the person people tell. And a lot of times it's actually an older teen and a younger teen, or an older teen and a child, or cousins, people that are around. Sometimes, yes, family friends or authority figures like rabbis, things like that, teachers. But a lot of it is like teen on teen or kid on kid or that kind of thing. And so there's not always a clear line. And I just want to be really clear. I am not saying that if someone is sexually abused, they become a perpetrator. That is not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that there is a lot of mess and overlap, and it gets confusing. I'm thinking of a client that I had that was in exactly this position, where he was abused by an authority figure, and then he abused someone in his family system, and it was a whole mess. And it was, and he had never gotten treated for his abuse. So sometimes these cycles can go on in family systems or in cultures or just around. And again, a lot of it comes back to there's no safety. There's not a lot of openness. There's not a healthy sexual culture. So there's nowhere for that kid or that teen to feel safe to share and to be witnessed and to be held and to be treated and to get what they need to recover. And that's mostly what I'm passionate about, is there are a lot of options and there's a lot of hope, and there's a lot of effective treatment for something like sexual abuse. And that's part of what I helped sort of bring to light. And we did trainings for mothers in homes, because the community was quite strict. So we did sort of like Tupperware parties, and we had trainings in homes, and then we would do the next training in someone else's home. So we were trying to bring in resources and bring in help to help stop this cycle, and break the patterns instead of just having it perpetuate itself.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything more important than that? Right. Like the cycle of abuse is just, especially like, you know, now with the internet and with podcasts and people have more access to write books, to write blogs, to whatever. And so there is all this information that I feel like, had people would have, you know, known some of the stuff 50, 75, 100, 150 years ago, maybe there would be more of a stop gap or a stop in those cycles. What was it about? Was it something in particular where you thought, wow, I'm doing all this really important, super serious stuff. This particular thing that I've found, in my work makes me curious about dating and sex and relationship in just the general population, the non-abuse population. Was there just one thing or many that made you just really like that sort of thirst to figure sex and dating and become a coach? Did it just turn on by something?
That's a good question. I feel like it was a calling more than anything else. It wasn't some sudden moment. It was more like, I guess, a Polaroid coming into focus, but it felt like, this is what I'm meant to do. This is what I'm meant to work on. And I think that the part of what I found really poignant about that work was the effect on sex and dating and relationships. And so in my current work as a sex and relationship coach, primarily for men who have sex with women, I find that this issue comes up regularly. I'd say at least 25 to 30% of my clients are survivors of sexual abuse. I have a lot of space for that. I have a lot of just room, and just, like I said, I've heard a lot. I've heard of it. I don't know if I've heard it all, but I've heard a lot. I've heard a lot, and I have a lot of just love and space and just awareness and capacity. And I think particularly for boys and men, I think there's extra stigma. There's always going to be stigma around sexual abuse. But I think for boys and men, it's extra hard to share or to tell about it for a whole bunch of reasons. And so I've been lucky to witness a lot of men moving through that journey and coming out much more able to have healthy relationships and healthy dating and sex lives, because it's a stopping point, right? It's, if you haven't dealt with trauma, then what tends to happen is you tend to go into freeze and you don't know why. So it's like, I don't know why I can't approach women, or I don't know why I can't escalate, like move things forward, like become sexual with women, or their bodies are just going into freeze, but they don't know that. So to them, it's just like, why doesn't this part of my life work? I don't understand why this part doesn't work. Other parts of my life work. Like, I have flow in other parts, but this is just not working. And so it's really gratifying to help men unblock and actually come into their fullness and their whole selves and be able to have healthy relationships. And like I said, I'm really passionate about that, not just for that individual man, but for the family system he's probably going to create, because it's going to be different than his family system. And I find that very inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. And I'm wondering too, besides being, a victim of abuse or trauma, right? What are some other reasons why men can't approach women, why men don't have the confidence to think that they can be in a relationship? Because, you know, and we talked about this the first time we recorded, but there are people, and I'm not sure because I didn't ask, but I'm definitely going to ask you now. There are people who believe that men are in sort of a free fall dating sex crisis, right? And I don't know if I believe that, but I'm not an expert. I'm just some fucking douchey podcast guy. So like whatever. Right. and so I think besides, you know, being the victim of abuse, what are some reasons, why men, you know, have stopped approaching women? One, and two, do you believe that men are in a dating crisis?
That's a great question. let's see. I would say that there is definitely a big shift happening, and it's been happening for a while now, right? Like 10, 20, 30 years, big shift in North America, in the West, in cultures like ours. And I do think that there's more confusion around roles than there ever has been, at least, you know, that from what I can understand of history. And so I think that, for example, like a lot of the men that I work with, they don't want to be that guy. They don't want to be an asshole. They don't want to be a douche, to your point. I don't think you're douchey, by the way. I think you can give yourself more credit than that, Dustin.
Thank you.
But I do think that there's a lot of confusion about how do I approach and be respectful? Like, how do I approach and not be an asshole? How do I do this without causing harm, essentially? So I think that most of my clients have some version of that conundrum within them of, I'm not sure how to do this and not cause harm and not be a dick and have her feel uncomfortable. So, I think that some of that is cultural and some of it is personal, meaning there's this interesting intersection and overlap in our culture around sex and shame. I think that we, and I'm speaking mostly of North America, we are more puritanical than we think. And our culture is more puritanical than we think. And so there's more of a sort of sharp edge around sex and sexuality and men here than I've experienced in other places. So I've lived in Costa Rica, I've lived in Argentina, the Turks and Caicos Islands, several places in Europe, Japan. And there's a spectrum of comfort and ease around sexuality and approaching and just that whole genre. And I would say that in North America, there is more fear and there is more, men here are afraid of coming off as creepy in a way that is not true in a lot of other cultures I've lived in. There's a visceral fear of coming off as creepy or coming off as a pervert that has men like shrink and kind of contract and become smaller because they are afraid. And it doesn't feel the same in other places that I've lived. There's a version of it, but it's not the same sharpness or the same quality. So I guess I just want to validate if you are a man in North America and you're like, yeah, I've had this experience of feeling afraid a woman will throw a drink in my face or that she will reject me in a shaming way, right? Reject me in like a public humiliation way, not in like a polite no thank you, but in like, you're disgusting for even approaching me. Like that kind of thought fear feels like a big one for a lot of the guys that I work with. And there is some truth to it, meaning the cultural field we live in does have that as part of it, right? There's this, I don't know how to describe it, but like an anger or a rage or a fear that's like that whole cocktail of things related to sex and sexuality. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, the amount of trauma and abuse that women in particular have endured over time and a lot of unprocessed trauma on both sides. So I don't know if I answered the question, but that's what I have for now. How does that land?
No, that's great. It lands very well. And I think, you know, it allows us to move the conversation in one of many directions. Right. And I think for me, I sort of believe, and I put 15 plus years in the nightlife and seen dudes acting insane, women acting insane too, but in very different forms of insane. And so, you know, I've seen some pretty bad behavior. Both of my stepdad and my bio dad were kind of fucking dicks. And so I've seen that too. And, you know, I have a handful of sisters who've all been through it. My mom's been through it. My grandmother went through it. And it's just kind of like, I sort of, you know, you hear someone like, you know, a Scott Galloway who just won't stop talking about how important it is that we get religion back in the game and how we get our men out there and whatever. And I kind of like, I listen to him because I respect him, but I disagree on like the religion piece. I disagree on, hey, we've had 20, 30,000 years of bad behavior. Like, why are we going to cut anybody any slack? You know? So I do kind of feel like men sort of deserve where they're at right now in a way. I mean, that's coming from a man. That being said, I mean, I only got involved in the nightlife so I could stop using pickup lines back when I was 19. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't want to ever do this again. Cause it was really was hard, you know? And I was like, I just want to go be myself and have women approach me. How do I do that? So I just found a stage and worked my way up to it with a microphone, and that's how I handled it. But not, you know, not everybody, that's not everybody's way. So that's kind of, I know that's sort of a mixed bag, but I think that sort of sets the table with what you said. And so, I mean, like, I don't know what your feelings are on any of that.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you found a place where you were expressed and you were able to actually bring yourself forward and be, just the word expressed, right? That's something that comes up with a lot of our men, is that they hold back a lot. Most of the time they're holding back. And so they're not following their natural impulses. They're not expressing and they're not moving forward. They're not taking action. And there's something about, you know, we talk a lot in my work about polarity. So we talk about alpha energy and omega energy. I like to use those terms instead of masculine and feminine, because I think those terms come loaded up with a lot of other stuff. And so if you think about like alpha and omega, it's generally like alpha is associated with action, with movement, with the sun, with doing, with forward, with pioneering, with penetration, not just sexual, but just right, penetrating the world, asserting movement, forward, action. And omega is receptive. It's dark. I don't mean dark in terms of bad, but just the earth, like the loamy earth, moon, receptivity, relaxation, receiving, flow, allowing. So alpha is the banks of the river and omega is the flow. It's the water. It's the rushing water in the river. So the banks of the river hold the rushing water. And we all have alpha and omega, and we need a balance of both of them, right? Because there's a way that, you know, my sense is that you being on stage and you being in action, being in motion, right? That is like holding the alpha position. And so that is attractive to people who are more in omega or who like to be in omega flow. It's like, oh, I want to be around that. So something we talk about a lot in our work is how men can cultivate their own alpha energy. And I'm not talking about alpha and beta. This is not, I'm not talking about pickup alpha. That's not the right. It just happens to be the same word, but that's not the idea. But there's something really attractive about groundedness and solidity and the ability to move forward with confidence, and not fake confidence, but the confidence that comes from inner knowing, from being grounded, from an impulse that's coming from your body rather than, I think I should do this right now, you know, that kind of thing. So it sounds to me like you found a way to embody that energy. And that is very attractive generally to people who are more in Omega, who want to be more in Omega. It's like, ooh, I want to be around that. That's like, it's magnetic. It's attractive. Like that person is authoritative. And they are finding more and more that because of mirror neurons and other things, that this is actually part of what, it's the same principle in the leadership world, in the business, in business leadership. And one of the things we talk about in our work is whoever is breathing more deeply in any moment is holding alpha. So when I'm working with my clients, I'm holding alpha. I'm holding the space for them. I'm holding space for them. And it's the same in leadership. The reason people will gravitate to certain people, whether it's voting or whether it's more informal in some group, you can watch it happen. Whoever is breathing more deeply, whoever is more grounded, whoever is holding that alpha position, people turn towards them. It's almost like sunflowers turning towards the sun. It's like, oh, there's the lead. Like there's the leadership, there's the groundedness, there's the trustability. And so that's something that we talk about a lot in our work and that we work with our men on, is cultivating that in themselves. So that, to your point, it's a lot more effortless. It doesn't have to feel like so much work. It's not like you have to think about it or plan it or, you know, figure it out. It's like, be this in the world and then follow your impulses, and your impulses will take you to the women that you're interested in, or the jobs you're interested in, or whatever it is. Like that, that is the most important thing, and everything else follows from there.
Yeah. I mean, that is exactly like, you know, I mean, that's when I was thinking, okay, how do I, you know, how do I not use a pickup line ever again? I mean, it really, what it boils down to, or did for me back then, was like, this feels gross. It feels like, I'm one of 1,000 dudes. Like, it's a numbers game. I fucking hate that. How do I rig this? Number one. Number two, like, how do we have fun? And then what it boiled down to was like, how do I attain power? Right. And so, that is basically what I did. And I mean, it wasn't the only reason I did it, but I mean, there was a big reason why I did it. Or maybe like after I became somewhat successful, I realized like, oh shit, I don't have to ever hit on anyone ever again. So embarrassingly or whatever. So like, yeah, I mean, that goes right along with everything you just described. I'm wondering, and I know it's different for case by case, but when you're working with your clients, I mean, is there something in general that you start them with to sort of get them out of their heads a little bit immediately and like start thinking how you described, how to think more, you know, power, alpha, whatever we're calling it?
So one of the things that we do in our program is embodiment practices. And I feel like that's sort of a general boring term, like embodiment practices, but it's really true because you know, most of the men that I work with are in their head a lot of the time. They're in their head almost all the time. And that is part of what contributes to freeze. Because if you're in your head, you're not feeling the impulse of the body, right? I want to go over there and talk to her. I want to go over there and be around that person. I want to go to this concert, right? Just the impulses of our body is part of the flow of life. That's part of how we move through the world smoothly. And when it's interrupted, when you're in your head all the time, you're constantly interrupting your impulses. I think I kind of want to go over there, but what if I go over there and she rejects me? Or what if I go over there and I make her uncomfortable? Or what if I, you know, all of these thoughts come in. So we focus a lot on getting men into their body instead of getting them out of their head. Because it's hard to get out of your head. You're still kind of thinking about it. But you can get into your body. Yeah. So that's one of the things that we do. And another thing is we talk about the heart-cock matrix, which we could talk about now if you would like. Let me kind of map to see where a man is on that. And so the heart-cock matrix is much like what we've been talking about. So if you imagine a graph from this back in the day, we're going back to middle school. So the x-axis is the flat one. The y-axis is the up and down one. The x-axis is heart. And that has to do with emotional connection and ability to relate and bond and, friendship, it's closeness, intimacy, all of that. And you imagine that 0 to 10. And then on the y-axis is what I call the cock energy. And I use that word on purpose because it's kind of edgy. It's kind of provocative. It makes people a little uncomfortable sometimes, depending on how comfortable they are with their own sexuality, right? And all of the rest of it. And cock energy is about what we've been talking about, right? It's alpha. It's the ability to penetrate the world and take what you want. And so if you imagine that's 0 to 10 as well, what happens a lot of the time, what I see is that men are imbalanced. They either have too much heart energy and not enough cock energy, or too much cock energy and not enough heart energy. And then there's this whole population in the middle that I like to call the basic dudes. And they're just kind of hanging out right in the middle. They don't necessarily have as much of either, but they're basic dudes. They're basic dudes. And if they don't choose to grow, they're probably going to have a basic life. And that's the truth for a lot of us. It's like, you got to choose to grow if you want an extraordinary life. And if you want an extraordinary relationship, particularly if you didn't have that role modeled at home. And most of us didn't have that shit role modeled. I have worked with thousands of people at this point. I can count on one hand the number of people that said, yeah, I had my parents were both well-regulated emotionally, emotionally well-regulated. They were close. They showed each other affection. They were really open with us. You know, we had family discussions. I felt really included. Like, that's really fucking rare. Most of us did not have a functional home. Most of us had a dysfunctional home in some way. So usually we'll look at like, where is a man on this matrix, on this scale? And what I find is that the guys that have a lot of cock energy and not as much heart energy, they tend to not be able to sustain relationships. So they don't have any problem attracting women. They don't have any problem pulling women. I don't know. I have a friend in the UK that used that term over there. That part is fine for them. They have no issues there. But sustaining a relationship, providing what a woman needs emotionally, and I'm using man-woman dynamics for this episode, but this applies in queer relationships as well. This is not, doesn't only apply to hetero folks. But that closeness, that emotional closeness is necessary for a long-term relationship. It's really hard to sustain it without that. And so these men in this category, they get left. Women leave them. They can't sustain a relationship. Usually they can't sustain it past around 3 months. And then so that's a certain population that I work with. What I work with more frequently are the men that have a lot of heart energy and don't have a lot of cock energy yet, right? And none of this is written in stone. The whole point is that we balance them out. So if you got a lot of heart energy, not a lot of cock energy, then you're a nice guy, right? You're a nice guy. A lot of times these guys have people pleasing tendencies. They get friend zoned a lot. They don't have a problem establishing friendships with women. They have, sometimes they'll have even more women friends than men friends, but they have trouble generating polarity. They have trouble generating that sense of the spark or chemistry, or these are words that women will sometimes use, like, oh, I'm not really feeling the spark. You're a great guy, but I'm not really feeling it. This cock energy is part of what needs to be online in order for a man to be successful with women. The good news is that a lot of these nice guys, they already have a lot of relational skill. So they already have a lot of care and regard and respect and love. And, they have a lot that's going for them when it comes to relationship, but they have to bring the cock energy online. And that's a lot of what we work with those men on. And so essentially the spiritual path for the nice guy is to own his power. The spiritual path for the basic bro guy is to open his heart. And of course, each man has to do both, et cetera. But that's the basic gist, is how do we help that man who's a nice guy claim himself, own his boundaries, speak up for himself, not just with women. I mean, I've witnessed our men transform family relationships, work relationships, relationships with their kids. Like, it's not just about women. Owning your power improves your whole fucking life, as does opening your heart. We're really talking about, you're going to be a better man. You're going to be a better man at the end of this, and you're going to have a better life. So the top right quadrant is really what we're going for. And that is the integrated man. That man has access to his power and he has an open heart. So he's making choices and he's going after what he wants while respecting the people that he wants it from. So he's not just taking, but he's leading. He's leading. He's sharing what he wants. He's listening. He's asking other people what they want. He's finding the best solution, but he's in it. You know, he's like, yeah, I find you attractive. Yes. I would love to go out with you. There's a sense of direction, right? That alpha energy, you can feel that drive and you can feel, and I would love to hear what you would like. Here's my idea for this weekend. And what do you think? But there's not the passivity or the leaning back or the fear, and there's no movement, right? There's action and movement, and there's care and regard. And what's great about that, what's great about being a woman who's with an integrated man, is I get to relax and feel wanted. I want to feel safe and I want to feel wanted. I don't want to have to choose. And that's a little bit how it feels, I think, for a lot of women in the world, is I can either be with a guy who's really safe, or I can be with a guy where I feel like I feel the fire. I feel the thing. I feel the spark. I feel the aliveness. And there's not a lot of guys who have done the work and put in the time and done the emotional development and gotten into workshops and gotten into men's groups and gotten into plant medicine and dealt with their trauma and are really growing, because you got to do that shit. If you didn't see it role modeled, if you didn't come from a healthy family system, you got to do some work to get there. But let me tell you, it's worth it. The view from there is totally different. And the men that I've witnessed go through these transformations and own their power more, let's say, like nice guys who are now owning their power, the number one thing that they say to me is, I wish I'd known this sooner. I wish I'd done this sooner. I wish I'd had access to this earlier in my life, because my life is better now. Like, all around, my life is better. Better doesn't mean easier. I'm not saying it's easier, but there's a flow, there's a smoothness, there's a certain way of being that is, yeah, just demonstrably better.
Yeah, well, I mean, the integrated man, okay. So if you had to put this into percentages, right? Like, how much cock, how much heart, right? Is it 70% cock, 30% heart? Is it 50? I know it's not 50-50, because there's no way. I feel like it's got to be a little more cock than heart. And tell me clearly, like, you know, if I'm wrong, but I just feel like, you know.
I think my experience of it is that it's less about the percentage overall, and it's more about, what does this moment call for? What does this moment call for, right? What is needed in this moment? And that's why the integrated man has so much power, is that he's reading the room. He's present in his body. And so he's reading the room and he's able to provide what is needed in that moment. And sometimes that's cock energy and sometimes that's heart energy. So it's not so much like it's always 50-50. It's more like, what's happening right now? What is being called for right now? Does that make sense?
No, yeah, that totally makes sense. I mean, just the ability to learn the ability, if you don't have it naturally, right, to be able to perceive what is needed in the moment, but also what's coming next, right? And I think a lot of, you know, a lot of dudes that I know and whatever, like, they don't plan dates, you know what I mean? They don't see the importance of being decisive, right? Or they feel like their shit doesn't matter or whatever. And I think that, you know, planning most of the dates and, like, you know, saying, well, I don't care where we eat, where do you want to eat? Like, not doing that, like, that does set you up to be admired, desired. I mean, people just feel better when they're around somebody who's decisive and can do shit, I think, you know. Does that track?
Yeah. I think when someone leads, other people get to receive. And so if you're a man and you want your woman to feel relaxed and in Omega, in her Omega flow, which is really when she's like, oh, like she feels relaxed and open and receptive. If you want her to feel like that, you have to learn to lead. And that is, you know, I was just talking to someone the other day about it's when you're in the dating phase, it's exactly what you're talking about. It's like, hey, I heard about this really cool show this weekend. I'd love to take you. How does that sound? That's leading, right? It's like, here's my idea. How does that sound to you? And then if she's like, actually, I'm like exhausted from my work week. I don't think I can do a thing. It's like, great. How about I come over and we make tacos? I'll bring everything we need. Great. You pivoted. You're still leading, right? You're still creating an experience and she gets to relax and receive that experience. And in relationship, sometimes often it looks like there's weird tension in the space. You don't know what's going on, but you can feel that there's something off. You're just like, oh, something's wrong. Like something's going on with my woman. If you, the passive move there is to hope it goes away. Just going to hope it goes away. Oh, I'll just give her space. I'll just give her space. And, you know, no, that's not the move. The move is like, hey, I can feel that there's something going on. I would love to hear what's up. Mm-hmm. How are you? How are you really? That's leading. Leading is, and it's not, you'll notice, it's also not, are you okay? It's not, are you okay? Leading is, I'm noticing that there's tension. I would love to hear what's going on. That's leading, because that doesn't leave any space for, oh, I'm fine. Like, it's like you're telling her, I have noticed there's something going on. I am present and listening. I would like to hear what's going on. And I think that's a pretty good example of you're bringing that cock energy and that heart energy at the same time, right? You're penetrating the moment. You're changing the molecules in the room. You're not just accepting this weird dynamic that you can feel in the kitchen. You're like, whoa, I don't know what's going on, but I know it's not normal. I can feel it. And most of the men that I work with are very attuned, right? Men, in my experience, are equally as intuitive as women, but they're not acting on it a lot of the time. They haven't been trained on how to act on it. And that's a lot of the training that we provide. So those are both examples of that's a man who's leading. And the in my experience, I'll go with the second example further in the relationship. The conversation is going to be different if he leads that moment. If he says, I'm noticing there's something up. I really want to hear. I always want to know what's going on for you. I always want to know what's on your heart. What's happening? How she's going to show up in that moment is going to be different than if she was the one who had to bring it up, right? If she was the one who the next day or later that night was like, hey, I'm upset about this thing. Now she's upset about the thing she's upset about. And a lot of women are also upset, like, I was the one who had to bring it up. Versus, I am making space for you. I want to hear what's going on for you. Please tell me what's going on for you. Now it's like, oh, he noticed me. He noticed me. He noticed us. And so there's a certain relaxation in her system of like, okay, like he's here with me. He's present. He's here. And that, so now my share is my probably going to be more vulnerable and probably going to be more honest and more forthright because I'm like, oh, wow, he's really listening. He cares, right? He's listening and he cares and he's creating space for me. A different kind, you're going to get a different kind of response. In the same way that when you lead a date, when you provide an experience, when you create something for her to step into, she's a lot more likely to show up like radiant and excited and you know, beautiful. I'm not just talking about physical beauty. I'm talking about effervescence, right? Because that's Omega flow is like, there's a certain like incandescent quality to a happy woman, right? She's just lit up. Like she's radiant. She's alive. She's excited. And I've had this experience multiple times in dating scenarios where when I was the one who had to drive things forward and people will do this all the time, right? They'll be like, oh yeah, let's do something this weekend. Let's do something this weekend. Okay. When, where, what are we doing? And like, and now I'm kind of like waiting because I'm like, well, should I have brunch plans with my friend on Sunday? I don't know. I'm supposed to do something with this guy. And then when I've been the one who's had to say like, hey, like, what are we thinking? Then I'm a little bit resentful and I'm not going to show up as like radiantly versus when the man is like, hey, I've thought about it and here are two options. This is what I'm thinking. How does that sound? I'm like, ooh, wonderful. I get to pick. I get to choose. And so I show up more radiantly. The same woman can show up differently in one. If you're leading, versus if you're being passive and not leading. It's the same woman, but the way she shows up, her omega flow is not as activated if you're not leading. And I think this has been pretty transformational for a lot of our men, not just the ones that are single, but also the ones in relationship where they're like, wow, leading really works. Like, it's working, right? Like, my woman is showing up differently because I'm leading. And there's a virtuous cycle that happens because she's more radiant, she's more lit up, and he's more like attracted to her, right? He's more magnetized by her. He's coming towards her in a different way. And then it sort of cycles up from there. That's a little bit of an oversimplification, but you get it.
No, yeah, I do. And I think they are, or they did, or whatever. I don't, whenever they're, if you're listening to this, then you understand what we're saying. If you haven't watched this yet and you're in the future, you totally get it. No, but I think I just broke the fourth and fifth wall there. But I think, you know, when you're with somebody that you want to be with, right? And I'm just speaking from experience because, I've been with the person where it feels, it's always going to feel like effort. It's always going to feel like work. I mean, it really is. And you said something to that effect. It's never going to be easy, right? And I think that that's important to sort of bring up again, because if you're a man and you're with a woman and you want to be with her, it's going to feel like effort, but it's going to be like fun. You're going to stress about it a little, maybe, right? But you're going to do that work or to feel good about it. If you're with a woman and it just feels like, God, this sucks. I have to fucking find another wine bar this weekend. Jesus, like that, right? That's sort of a sign that you're not with the person that I feel like it has to feel like you have to desire the effort almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And I just think that people don't talk about that enough.
I think that's a good point. And I also think that there's a beautiful dynamic, kind of like the infinity sign of the person providing and the person receiving, the person providing and the person receiving. And when the person receiving is vocal and open and excited about what you've provided, it's really motivating. Right. When you're not feeling received, when you're not feeling like what you are providing is appreciated, you're a lot less motivated to provide again. So, you know, I coach couples as well as singles. And that's something that we work on a lot in couples is her noticing and praising him for what he has provided and appreciating him for what he has provided. I do this practice with my man on a regular basis of just looking over the past few weeks, like, what are a few things he's provided for me? And I don't just mean physical things, or, you know, it's like, you provided emotional space. Like, I was really upset and you were there for me and I felt really met and I felt a lot more relaxed in my body. You know, that night when we watched Ted Lasso, like, thank you for listening. To me, that's providing. So I think that's something that I've noticed with a lot of the men I've worked with is for the men in relationships, they have to be with a partner who can soften and can receive and can allow and can flow. And if she's blocked, if she's not really open to receiving or allowing or flowing, it's not going to work. There has to be that infinity sign. And there are two people involved in any relationships, not just all on the man or all on the woman to be embodying these things. I think it's a lot easier when people know about polarity and they have a sense of what we're talking about and they've done some emotional work. I think it's harder when you have no idea about it, but that's something that I feel a little protective of with my men. It's like, yeah, if you're, we talk about this a lot in our program. If you're with someone and you feel like you can never get it right with her, I have a whole podcast episode on that. Like, if you feel like you can never get it right with her and it's never going well and it's never enough, there's a problem. That's a problem, right? And it's not always you. So I guess I just wanted to really make that clear that there's giving and receiving. And here's a hint for the men that are in relationships. If you're kind of like, oh, like what, you know, what should we do this weekend? Like, how can I lead her? What should I do? Something that always works is, what are some things you've been wanting to do around the city? Like quizzing your woman, like, and not from a place of like, what should we do this weekend? But like, how are you feeling? What are you desiring? And in classic Alpha Omega, like in the lineage of Alpha and Omega, which comes primarily from David Deida's work, Alpha is thinking and Omega is feeling. So if you're in thinking mode, and this is for anyone, anywhere, if you're thinking, executing, planning, directing, you're in Alpha. If you're feeling, enjoying, savoring, allowing, relaxing, you're in Omega. So if you want to help your woman be in Omega, you want to ask about her feelings and not just how she's feeling emotionally, but also like, is there anything I could do to help you feel more relaxed right now? That's going to help put her in Omega, right? You see the difference between like, how are you doing? And like, what would make you feel more relaxed right now in this moment? Like, ooh, that's a different kind of question. I'm like, ooh, okay. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like maybe a blanket or something, but she's like, now she's in a different state. And in the same way, we're like, what would feel really good to you this weekend? Is a totally different question than what do you think we should do? And so what would feel really good to you? I personally love that question from my man, especially if I share like, actually what would feel really good is like getting into nature somehow, like being around trees and not just hiking, but like sitting somewhere beautiful and just being in nature. And he's like, great, I'm on it. I will figure out how to execute that. Right. But so I think that's just a tip for anyone in relationship with an Omega being is like, you don't always have to generate all the ideas. You can elicit kind of like what would feel really good to you. And that's the question you want to go with is what would feel good to you? Because that's going to put her in a different kind of state than what do you think?
Yeah. And I mean, I that's, people are so guilty of just sending like the what you doing text, you know, or what's up or like whatever. That's sort of the basic component of that. I feel like if you go a step deeper, even in a text message, how did that thing at work go? Right. I did, like, if you remember that she had a fucking nail appointment or doctor's or whatever it is, like those are like little things too, that are better than like, hey, what's up? Like, you know, you mentioned two things, two different subjects that I think are really important to hit in this recording, because in the first one, we didn't fuck with them that much. But I think number one, you mentioned you work with primarily men who are single, but you also work with men who are in relationships who are desiring more sex, more connection, more whatever. What is that like, right? And how do you advise someone that comes to you and says, hey, my girlfriend and I, like the spark's sort of flaming out and like, it's not hot, or like what, I mean, there's a multitude of problems there, but we're not having a lot of sex. I hate it. I want to have sex with my girlfriend or my wife more. How do you get that process going?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that at this point, yeah, I probably work with half single men and half men in relationships. So at least half of our clients are married or in long-term committed relationships. And that is one of the reasons that they're coming. It's like, we're not having enough sex. I want more closeness. And it's not always just sex. Often sex is part of it, but it's like, I want more closeness. Like I want more closeness, more intimacy, more just closeness. And they don't always have the words for it, but they feel the missing, right? They feel the lack. They feel the, like, it's not quite what it could be or what I want it to be. And, you know, actually one of the things that we work on quite a bit is loneliness. So most men that I work with are deeply lonely. And what I mean by that is they don't have a lot of people in their life that they feel like they can be their true self with. And this is partly due to the patriarchy. And I don't say that lightly. I mean that, you know, there's social science research on the way that boys talk about friendships, friends and friendships in North America. And the study was looking at like boys around the age of like 10 to 13. And right around the age of 11 or 12, the way that boys talk about their friends changes and they start distancing themselves. And there's more competitive language comes in, but you can actually hear in their voices the way that they are becoming more isolated. They're becoming isolated because what they're learning is boys don't cry. So you're not allowed to be sad. You're not allowed to express emotion. And the deep homophobia that still rules in our culture is like, and if you hold hands with a boy, you're a fag. There's such a quality. And again, this is cultural. It's in the culture. It's not any specific person saying a specific thing. It's just in the culture. So it's like, okay, if I want to be a man, if I want to be respected, if I want to grow into a respected man, then here's what I have to do. I cut off parts of myself, including my vulnerability. I don't get to show that to anyone. I have to hide it. I have to cut it off and hide it. And it takes a lot of energy to do that. And it leads to a lot of men who the only person they're emotionally vulnerable with is their woman. And that is not good for polarity. Because as it turns out, if you feel dependent on your woman, you aren't standing on your own two feet. You're not able to hold alpha in the same way. You're kind of... Again, that people pleasing comes online where you're sort of like trying to please her all the time, in part because you're kind of dependent on her for your emotional regulation. So a lot of what we work with men on is actually bonding with other men. And that's part of what our program provides, because we are a coaching program and a men's group, a combined coaching program and men's group. I am the only woman involved. So I coach alongside my good friend and co-coach Jason Lang. And so we're a program that has a man and a woman holding the space for our men. But it is a group program for a reason, because our men start to bond with each other and they start to hear each other's stories and they see each other reflected. You know, they see their stories reflected in one another, and it creates a certain sense of self-esteem and of standing on your own two feet and being in your power and able to be truly who you are. And again, that is what is attractive to your woman. So it's not like what you're saying or how you're, it's who you're being. It's who you're being when you say it. It's who you're being around the house. It's who you're being on date night. It's not what you're saying or the way, you know, it's not the details, it's the energy. So we focus a lot on that kind of power, right? Helping men stand in their power and own their story and be witnessed and held by other men. One of the organizations I respect, their motto is brotherhood is the medicine. Brotherhood is the medicine. And it's counterintuitive, because you would think that the way I would answer that question would be about how he's interacting with her, or, you know, like bringing lingerie in or sex toys. And there's nothing wrong with all those things. Those things are great. But the fundamentals are underneath that. And you got to work on these. You got to get the fundamentals before you can add in all of the stuff on top.
Yeah. I mean, I'm no expert, but I know I have a lot of experience from my life. And now this podcast too, that I've been doing for a year and a half thousand years. There is a balance, you know, there is an integration. That's why I love that you call it the integrated man, because I think you don't always get that balance right. I mean, you can accidentally have too much cock energy, and then sometimes you could have too much heart energy, right? And then sometimes maybe you're a basic dude, but like the idea is that because it's more balanced, it's more integrated, that's okay. People slip in and out of shit. No one's perfect all the time. And I think it's easy, right? Like to say, like, I mean, to really look at it, be like, fuck, like the patriarchy, really fucked us all up. And like, men aren't supposed to cry. Men aren't supposed to talk about their feelings. But like, if we had to, Melanie, if we had to say like, who is responsible for all this damage, right? If I have a bunch of people ready with pitchforks, we're going to storm the castle. Whose castle are we going to? Is it advertising? Are we going to our dead great, great grandfathers, to dig them up and piss on them, or what? Like, who is responsible for making men such dicks right now?
Oh my God, that's a good question. Yeah, there's no one particular castle. I think building.
So we're going to a bunch of different castles.
Well, it's interesting because I was talking to a psychologist friend of mine, and we were talking about change in the psyche, and you know, there's sort of like two different ways to do it. One is excavating the old, like excavating what has happened and dismantling it. And one is bringing in the new. And someone once put it to me, like, if you imagine your old thought processes as like a house that's dilapidated and falling down and disintegrating, the idea is not that you spend more time demolishing it, but you bring another house down on top. And then the old house goes into the earth. So we want to be bringing down new structures and new ways of being and new thoughts. And I think that's part of what's happening on a cultural level in our culture is, I think it's less effective to focus on dismantling, and it's more effective to focus on what are the new structures, what does work, what is coming in. And I'll just shout out basic universal income as an example of a structure that I see and I've done a lot of research on that is functioning and helping in a lot of other places that we could have here. And that's an example of, let's focus on this and bringing this in, because it actually has an impact on a bunch of, you know, rates of depression and anxiety and poverty and a lot of different things, rather than just focusing on, you know, storming the castle. Like, I don't have a problem with storming the castle. I think there's a lot of value in destruction, and there's an and, right? We got to bring in the new structures, and that's true on the micro level as well as the macro level. So in our own body, mind, and in our culture, in the cultural field. And I think we're in the midst of that. I think there's a lot of tumultuous volatility in the culture, and that is a time of great potential. There's great potential to bring in new structures, new ways of being, new ways of thinking, inclusion. And I know that, you know, a lot of my friends have children, young children now, and there are different schools that are bringing in a lot more social emotional learning. So when like two kids have a fight on the playground, for example, they'll each get a teacher. Like one teacher will go with this kid, one teacher will go with that kid, and they'll kind of like, what happened and how were you feeling? And they'll talk about breathing and emotional regulation. And so they're doing it differently than was done in the past. And I think that's kind of, that's the magic, is like, okay, how do we actually, what does it actually look like? Like, what does it look like if we're not, quote, doing patriarchy? Well, it means that everyone gets to have their emotions, and we talk about it and we're open about it. And it means that teachers are modeling it. Coaches are modeling it. I have this fantasy of like getting a lot of like athletic coaches together and doing men's work and men's groups and just emotional growth for coaches, because they have so much leadership and power in schools and what they say and how they are being and how they can lead and help boys become integrated men instead of men cut off from themselves. It's kind of like, that's what I mean. It's like, what's working? What are we doing that's working? And let's replicate that.
Yeah. So, okay. We're taking the shovels. We're going to dig up our great, great grandfathers, get them out of there, and then bring down a yoga studio and a vegan juice place in the land. Right. That's it. Okay. No, I think that I love the all kidding aside, I think that's great. I mean, change is needed, and that's what you do with your coaching. And that's what you are trying to create, more integrated men, because that is change, right? The balance of cock and heart, the leadership instead of the following, and like the ability just to like be like, hey, I can do whatever I want, and I choose to like, you know, ask you out on a date and actually plan the fucking thing myself. the other instead of asking you 10 times where you want to go and if you have a fish allergy over and over again, no idea what that means. I do want to take a couple minutes here at the end, right, and talk about your podcast, because your podcast, right, I want them to go and check it out. They absolutely should not leave this podcast right now, but after they are done listening to this one, watching this one, they should go over to yours, because I think it truly is like a valuable, almost like resource tool for this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That means a lot. Yeah. My podcast is Dear Men, How to Rock Sex, Dating, and Relationships with Women. And everything is there. So my site is there. You know, I think something that I would also just say is I do original sex research, and I do have a streaming course for men about that called Please Her in Bed. And I talk about that on one of the episodes of my podcast. So if that's intriguing, you can just look that up in the library.
Yeah. And I mean, what would be the basic like elevator pitch of your podcast? Because I want them to have a sense of like every week they're tuning in. And it's not the same thing every week, but it is valuable shit, right? So mm-hmm. let's pitch it to them so they have an idea of what they can expect going over there. Because I find that the people that are listening and watching to this one, like, they just love to consume really good stuff because they're really smart people. So except for the ones that are like hating in the comments, I think they could probably stay here and hate. They don't need to go over to yours. But like, what would the elevator pitch be for your podcast?
Well, my intention for my podcast was to help men and to give them a peek behind the curtain. So to have women on that are sharing our experience of a lot of the things we've talked about today, our personal stories, our shares. So we have certain episodes called Girl Talk, where I have two or three of my women friends on and we'll cover a certain subject. Like we're talking about approaching women, or, we did one on sexual fantasies. That one's pretty good. I really wanted to help men understand how to succeed with us and how we actually want to be approached, what feels good to us. Because I think there's a lot out there on what men shouldn't do. And I wanted to have a whole podcast on here's what we would love. Here's what we crave. Here's what we long for from you. Because I think that's a more inviting and welcoming way of doing the work.
No, yeah, I think that's exactly what I was hoping you were going to say, because it truly does play like that. I mean, the episodes that I listened to, I was like, oh wow, because I had already talked to you, so I'm like, this is sort of what her coaching is like, kind of, but this seems more almost like more personal without even like sitting down and talking to you. You get to listen to these sorts of concepts and ideas, and I think that's like super valuable. There's so many podcasts out there that I think go together well, and I just think a lot of the listeners and audience members here would love that one. So that is amazing. If you could only give one tip, it doesn't have to be to men, right? We've been talking about the men a lot on this one. So if you want to, sure. But if you'd only give one, and they're going to shut off your microphone and shoot you into space or something, right? What would you leave everyone with as far as how just to be a better man, person, when it comes to having relationships? Because I think, it's a huge question and I'm sort of stalling to give you more time to think of an answer right now. But I just think that it's an important thing to ask someone like you.
That's a great question. What's coming up for me is take healthy emotional risks. Take healthy emotional risks. So in yoga, we talk about stretch, not tear, right? We want you to stretch and not tear. So we want you to stretch, but we don't want you to go too far. But I'll give you one very quick example from my life. I'm a member of a women's circle and someone hurt my feelings a few weeks ago in the women's circle. And I kind of held it in. And I finally took an emotional risk and told the group last week, here's what happened. Like, this person hurt my feelings. And then I pulled away from the group. And a big part of me wanted to just cut you out and just find a different circle and not deal with it. And I don't really want to do that in my life anymore. Like, I want to find a different way of doing it. I've never done this before. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I wanted to let you know how I was feeling. That is one example of taking a healthy emotional risk. Take a healthy emotional risk with the trustable people in your life. Be vulnerable, share yourself, and then see what happens. Don't do that with non-trustable people. Don't do that with, your abusive, like, fill in the blank relative. That's not what I'm talking about. But for close friends, people that you know care about you, take healthy emotional risks, because it will improve the quality of your life. And I can tell you right now, I don't know who you are or where you are, but that is how you will break the patterns of your family. That is how you will break the lineage patterns, is by doing something other than what you've always done, which for a lot of us, usually involves, not standing up for ourselves or cutting people out, right? Just like, oh, I don't really want to, like, that hurt. I don't want to deal with it. I'm going to choose not to do that. Do something different and learn, right? Keep listening to this podcast, listen to other podcasts, keep learning how to do this stuff, because it's worth it. It's worth it. Your life will improve and you will improve the lives of those around you.
Wow. We'd love that. Melanie Curtin, thank you so much for being here on Sex Party. Let's tell these party going bastards where they can find, where they can find your podcast, where they can find you, where they can work with you.
Yeah, my podcast is everywhere podcasts are. Dear Men, How to Rock Sex, Dating, and Relationships with Women. And you can find my website at melaniecurtin.com.
Amazing. We will do this again, I promise. And you know, this time it'll be episode 2, not episode 3, because the other one didn't work out. But thank you for being here again.
Thanks, Justin.
Huge thank you to my guest, Melanie Curtin, for being on the show with me. Go listen to her podcast. Go check her out. Go work with her. If you want to see more guests like Melanie, if you want to see Melanie return, if you want to show some love, some appreciation, some desire for more Sex Party, how can you do that? Well, if you're listening on platforms like Apple, Spotify, Google, iHeart, Stitcher, Amazon, wherever, you can subscribe to the show. That's the most important thing you can do. You never miss an episode every Wednesday. You could also rate the show if you want. You could give the show a review if you really want to. You don't have to do anything. You can just sit back and enjoy. If you are watching on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, I love you. I see you. If you're watching on YouTube, you could subscribe to the channel. You can like the video. You could leave a comment. I'm always available in the DMs on Instagram, and I will see you guys back here next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.